to more Talkin' Talkies, the show where we talk talkies. It's the end of February.
This is the end, my friend, the end. So this is it. This is a
snake.
Are we even going to have a gimmick next February?
To the lake.
Or is this it? This is it.
Might be it for February gimmicks.
Yes, the first annual and also final February Monty has come and gone, and we're going to end things by discussing the meaning of life. It's 42.
Well, yeah, that's the meaning of everything, right?
Yeah, maybe we'll review that at some point. So, yes, this is Monty Python's The Meaning of Life, which, though, it's kind of skit-based again.
It's really skit. It's just a series. It really is just a series of skits.
But yet they do intertwine at the end. So it's like the first movie more, but then it's also kind of like the next two where it does somewhat
crossover.
But we'll discuss what happens here.
So we start with a thing where you're like, is this a Monty Python movie? I thought this was supposed to be a comedy.
The Crimson Permanent Assurance.
Because it just starts out with, like, there's just a row of accountants doing accountant work. And you're just like, am I watching the right thing? And then all of a sudden, like, a guy's like, I'm just gonna get killed.
And it's like they flash back to when they were slaves on the slave ship.
Yeah, you're like, okay, yeah, I think I'm watching the right thing now.
And then
they send like the bosses overboard.
Yeah, and then they take all the construction equipment and make it a giant sail, and the building literally sails away. So weird, but so funny.
Pirates.
And then they invade the big accounting firm in America. Protect the papers. It's like keeps printing out longer and longer. It's so fun. It's such a great way to kick off the film. It's literally like a good like 20 minutes of the film is dedicated to this little mini movie, and then the title pops up.
Yes.
With all the Monty Python classic
and
stuff.
And then we go straight into Every Sperm is Sacred.
Oh my god, the miracle of birth. First we have the lady who's in labor, and the doctor's like, well, we need to fill this room with expensive equipment. This is the thing that beeps. It's the most expensive equipment we have. Like they forget about the patient, and then they forget her at the end too. Yes, Every Sperm is Sacred, which is a big musical number. It's all about the Catholic Church and how, you know, the Roman Catholic man, he can't afford all like his 80 kids, because that's all we do when we're Catholic, is just every time you have sex, you have to have a baby. And then it's like the Protestant couple. They're like, yeah, we don't have to do that. If I wanted to, anytime I want, I can walk down to the store and purchase a device.
And, oh, yeah, and the wife gets excited thinking he's going to get fucked.
Yeah.
But he just keeps talking.
And like, oh my god, it's so funny because they think they use every single penis metaphor in the book, and every single like term for penis is used at some point.
Well, yeah, and then later we get literally a song about, isn't it wonderful to have a penis?
Yes. The next thing we do is growth and learning. This is probably my favorite skit. It's like this all boys sex ed class, and John Cleese is the professor. And he's like, we're going to talk about sex education. And then he, like, opens up the chalkboard, brings out a bed, brings in his wife, and is, like, fully instructing them how he does it. He's, like, still scolding them at the same time. Bring that up here. No, put it on the desk. And then because one boy laughs at what happens, they make them compete in a rugby match against a bunch of adult males.
And they just kill them.
They just kill them. Everybody's celebrating. Oh my god. And then that transitions into the boys at war. Because it's like the kid sits up from the mud, and then it's like the guy in the dirt in World War I. And every time he tries to get them together, somebody else gets killed. I'm celebrating a birthday. Here's a cake. Oh my god, it's so friggin' great. And then they have, like, other stuff, too. Like, they do the, everybody gets excused so they can just do whatever they want. And then they do, like, the Anglo-Zulu War where a soldier gets his leg bitten off. And they're all, like, fighting. And but then there's, like, the one tent where nobody's fighting and everybody's super casual. Oh, what happened here? Oh, look, my leg got bitten off. Oh, bloody sorry to hear that. I think it was a tiger. But we're in Africa. And it's actually just two guys wearing a tiger costume, because of course it is. Then they do they do an actual singing segment about the middle of the film. Oh my god, and then the fish come back. The fish with the talking heads of all the main actors. They also like find the fish. So find a fish hidden in the sequence.
Oh yeah.
And then we get the American couple going to the dungeon-themed restaurant. They serve Hawaiian food in an authentic torture dungeon. We have the card-carrying organ donor. And while all this is going on, we keep talking about the meaning of life and what it is. By the way, there is an answer. It's at the end of the movie, but there is an answer. The guy gets his liver removed, even though he's still alive, because he's a card-carrying organ donor and someone needs a liver. And then this part's so weird. They do the galaxy song. And like every and then they're like in the corporate boardroom talking about it, but then a skyscraper falls.
Yes. And it's the return of the
the pirates.
Of the pirates. And you're like, "Oh wow." Okay. And it's been a long time since that segment. It's been like, you know, maybe like 40, 45 minutes, and you're just like, oh, wow, now it's coming back.
Well, a couple of things come back here. Then we do the Autumn Years, which has the horribly obese guy who comes in, and all he does is just keep throwing up and eating more food.
Yes.
And then his stomach blows up, because he gives him the mint.
It's Quaffer Thin.
Quaffer Thin. Biggest dickus. And then like, so the dude blows up and they're just casually cleaning him up and they're like, so what's the meaning of life?
What about the guy that the way he decided to get executed is to have a bunch of naked women chase him?
That was hilarious too. That was freaking hilarious too. And then my favorite part is the Grim Reaper going to the country home, inviting himself to dinner. And he's like, you're all dead. How? Salmonella. He just like casually walks through the table. And he's like, all right, we're going to escort you to heaven now. And then everything comes back full circle because it's like the couple that you saw earlier, like at the lobby. They're like, oh, welcome to heaven. Oh, all right. So then, and happy Christmas. It's Christmas. It's Christmas every day in heaven.
Oh, he couldn't like get them to heaven. They like get in their cars and shit.
Yeah, yeah. They all like drive there. They're driving through like a wormhole in the galaxy. Oh, and then the middle of the film guy comes back, except now he's at the end of the film, and he answers the question. Well, she answers the question. All right, so what is the meaning of life? Well, here it is. Try and be nice to people, avoid eating fat, read a good book every now and then, get some walking in, and try to live together in peace and harmony with people of all creeds and nations. And now here are the credits. Should we even go over the credits? So, who does Graham Chapman play? Well, he is the chairman. He's the obstetrician. He's fish number
obstetrician.
Obstetrician. He's Harry. He's Weimer. Horden, the general. Coles, the second narrator. Dr. Livingstone, the transvestite. He's Eric. He's Arthur Jarrett. He's Jeffrey. And he's the Tony Bennett lounge singer.
Well, I mean, yeah, like everyone had a thing in every skit, so.
John Cleese is another fish. He's Dr. Spencer. He's Humphrey Williams. He's Sturridge, Ainsworth, the Wafer, Eric's assistant, the Maitre D, and the Grim Reaper. Good old Terry's back. He's the window washer. He's fish number four. Walters, he's middle of the film announcer. He's Jolene, Mr. Brown, and Howard. Eric Idle is Gunther. He's the meaning of life singer. He's Mr. Moore. He's Mrs. Blackett. He's Watson. He's Blackett. He's Atkinson. He's Perkins. He's another soldier. He's the front end of the man in the tiger suit. He's Mrs. Hardy. He's Mrs. Pink. He's Gaston. And he's Noel. Terry Jones is Bert, Mum, Priest, Captain Biggs, Sergeant, Man with the Bendy Arms. Wonder where the fish did go.
A fish, you.
He's Mrs. Brown, he's Maria, and he's the super fat guy. And then Michael Palin is window washer, he's Harry, he's fish number five. He's the dad, he's the first narrator, he's the chaplain, he's Carter. Oh my god, he's the man in the rear end of the tiger suit, he's the female TV presenter, and he's the governor. And then Carol Cleveland and Patricia Quinn are in it, too.
As women that are supposed to be attractive.
Patricia Quinn's doing the time warp again. All right, so of course we've got trivia. Terry Jones spent most of the budget on the Every Sperm is Sacred sequence, and the rest of the team found out about that later. All the kids who sang in the Every Sperm is Sacred sketch later said they had no idea what they were singing about. Yes, Michael Palin originally sang the little rubber things on the end of my sock to be sensitive to the young actors. Cock was later dubbed in. Python refused to show Universal Studios a film script, figuring, as Eric Idle said, if we couldn't work out how to make a Monty Python film, they couldn't tell us. Instead, they showed them a poem, which was a summary of the film and a budget projection. And to their credit, they paid for the film on that. Idle recites the poem on the DVD version of the movie. The Crimson Permanent Assurance segment was filmed as if it were a completely separate project. Terry Gilliam got his own soundstage, crew, and cast. The segment continued to expand because, according to Gilliam, nobody told him to stop. So he just kept going it. Originally titled Monty Python's Fish Film, John Cleese has said he considers the film a bit of a cock-up. The other Pythons agreed this film is not the same quality as their two previous ones. Still, I had a good time.
Yeah, because it's kind of just a series of things, you know.
So, Graham Chapman, who is openly gay, asked to play God in the movie because he was pissed off at the Church of England for refusing to marry him and his partner, David Sherlock, at the time. At the time, same-sex marriage was not legal in the UK or even recognized by the church. So he's just like, oh, screw it, I'm going to be God. Oh, hey, but I didn't eat the moose. Yeah, that was not in the script. That was improv. During the tiger sequence, John Cleese actually had food poisoning, so in between takes, he would run outside and vomit. The only character to successfully appear in all three of the Monty Python films is, in fact, God. And the Find the Fish sketch was filmed in the main control hall of the Battersea Power Station, London. It was supposed to represent the weird dreams everyone experiences from time to time. Terry Gilliam later expressed regret that it wasn't explained clearly. Also, the fat guy's explosion is the only time Quentin Tarantino has ever been disturbed by graphic violence in a film. Wow. Good job.
Yeah.
So, yes, this is the end. The end of Monty Python's movies and the end of February, Monty. There's no more Monty Python movies left. We're done.
It's over.
But, guys, we now know what the meaning of life is. So, that's a thing, right?
I guess.
All right, so now that we've completed February, Monty, Dan, what would be your favorite Monty Python movie?
It's still Holy Grail.
Yeah, it's also mine. Which is funny because, like, they were definitely the most miserable doing that, and they were the happiest doing Life of Brian. And although I had a good time watching Life of Brian, I would probably put it last out of the four films. I really had a good time with And Now for Something Completely Different, because I enjoyed the nonsense, the fact that it was just skit after skit after skit and rehashes of all the classic stuff. Although there was some classic stuff in this one too, right?
Well, yeah, it's just you. Yeah. I think it's like everything hits in Holy Grail.
And yet they were the most miserable. Sorry, guys. We're sorry. All right. So for the next 4 weeks, it's prep, 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 and more prep. Next week, we are going to review The Wolverine. It's a precursor to Logan. Then we're going to review Godzilla, 2014 film, as a precursor to Kong Skull Island in that universe. Week after, we're going to review the animated Beauty and the Beast. It's a precursor to the live-action Beauty and the Beast, coming out third week in March. And then we're going to review the original super cheesy Power Rangers movie from 1995 as a precursor to the adult and more mature Power Rangers movie from 2017. A lot of prep work to be done, but we're going to do it. And then we're going to end March with Escape from New York, because Dan and I just both want to watch it. There's nothing else to prep for.
Yep.
Alrighty then. So we are good to go, guys. Get some prep work in, and we're going to start reviewing stuff. So next week, The Wolverine. Hugh Jackman as Logan is back. Till that time, I'm Chris. That's Dan. And this has been a Talkin' Talkies production.
Oh, okay.
Talkin' Talkies. Bye.
Bye.